Praise the Lord. I know that you didn't come out here this afternoon to kill time. You came to receive something from the Lord. I came here to receive something from God today. You know, we should never enter the house of the Lord with any preconceived idea, but to walk in before God and say, Lord, whatever you have for me this day, let me receive it. Let me receive whatever, Lord, because I'm sure I don't know everything. I'm sure I don't. And there could be something that you would have for me, and whatever it is, Lord, open the doors of my heart that I will receive this day whatsoever you would have me to receive. Let's all stand together and sing, Lord, I Believe. While we're singing this song, let's just reach out with our souls and believe God for something special today.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
You said.
You said it, Father.
It's possible.
Yes, you did, Lord.
And Lord,
Lord, I believe you, God.
Lord, I believe.
Yes, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I receive.
I receive from you, God.
You
said
that it's possible.
You said I could be healed, Jesus.
Lord,
you said I could be saved, Jesus. Lord, you even said that whatsoever I ask in your name, in faith, believing, that you would give it to me. Father, you know, every prayer that is upon my heart and my soul, you know the unsaved loved ones. Lord, you know every burden. We know that every day now is taking us closer to eternity, taking us closer to the judgment bar of God. Oh God, we're gathered together here today in faith, believing God, just trusting you, Lord, that you'll meet us here. And if we'll only believe,
only
believe.
You said that it's possible.
You told me to come boldly to the throne of grace to bring my petitions. You said that you would hear me and that you would answer me. Lord, I believe you today with every fiber of my being. I cry out unto you. I call unto you, Father. Lord, we believe. Now come on, sing it.
Lord, we receive.
Lord, we receive.
Lord, we receive.
Because we believe. Reading from the book of James today, second chapter, beginning with the third verse. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, you think of so many times that you see people who feel that after they have come to the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they feel, well, I have met God's requirements. I have done all that I am supposed to do. But actually, this is only the beginning of what God requires of us and what He expects from us in our Christian lives. One of these days, very, very soon, we're going to pass from this planet Earth into the great beyond. Even this little service here this afternoon, when it's completed here and each of us go our own way, we have only begun to live what will happen even here today. Because if there is any person here that God is dealing with by the power of His Spirit, and they walk away without yielding unto Him, opening the doors of their heart and accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they go on and that soul is lost, then one of these days in eternity, when they stand face to face with the living God at the judgment bar of God, they'll remember every song, every testimony, every word, everything that was done. And if that human soul goes out into eternity unprepared to meet God, they will relive this service throughout eternity. And always throughout the millions and billions of years will think, if I only had a chance to go back again, if I could only just be back in that little church again, if I only had the opportunity to make peace with God. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it would be if I could just have that opportunity again. But unfortunately, we do not have. Everything that is said and done here today, we'll remember it when we stand before Jesus the Savior on the other side. Everything that has been profited towards the kingdom of heaven, everything that we have done, then we shall reap throughout eternity. Because not only when we said, God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner, and ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart and to become our personal Savior, it didn't end there. Because even though we had faith to believe that He was the Son of the living God, that He died upon the cross, that He shed His blood for the remission of our sins, if we believed above all things that He died and rose from the dead, that He sits at the right hand of God the Father, all this is wonderful. But this is only the beginning of what God expects from us. I remember in California when I saw the young people wandering up and down Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Boulevard, singing songs, God is dead. Kill the police, burn down the churches. We need a new society. I looked at them and my heart broke. And I said, regardless of what these young people are, what they have become, they're a product of our making. Oh, come on now. Every one of us, when we stand before a living God, will have to share in the responsibility of what has happened to the United States of America. Oh, of course, we had churches on every corner. They were there. Multi-million dollar constructions. But there was no gospel. The Spirit of God was lying still. There wasn't even a flutter. There wasn't a murmur. There wasn't a move. And here this generation of young people that belong to us in a nation that we called Christian America was proclaiming that there was no such thing as a living God. And I said to Tony, it doesn't make any difference what people profess to be. If we do not go out into the streets and take the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people, then truly we shall stand one of these days before a living God, and we shall give account unto Him for our failures. Don't you believe for one minute that things were easy during that period of time, because they were not. The United States was in anarchy. There were riots in the street. We've seen young people turn over police cars and surround the police and play ring around the rosy around them, just antagonizing them and aggravating them. The police knew better than to make a move towards them, because there were hundreds of them and they were violent. They would have killed and without any notice whatsoever. And the police knew that. They realized it. But I said, if we lose our lives for His sake, then according to His word, we have gained life eternal and everlasting. And I believed God. I knew that we could have faith to move mountains. We could speak with tongues of angels. But what does the Bible say? Unless we have charity, these things profit nothing. We become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal of nothing. So we went right out into the crowds on the streets, and we stopped the young people and we said, why are you destroying your mind, your soul, and your body? What are the alternatives in your life, the kind of life that you are living? A prison ward, a mental institution, or a marble slab will surely be the end result of the life that you are living. But this is why Jesus died, that you can have life and have it more abundantly. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Every word in the Bible is truth. So many of the churches at that time, everything was God is love. Oh, God loves you, brother. God loves you, sister. Well, they were not even brothers and sisters. They were sinners. And the Word of God says that God hates the workers of iniquity. You know, we are living in perilous times today where people will not adhere to sound doctrine. Oh, come on, the Bible says so. Everything today is a message of love. No judgment, no condemnation, but God just loves everybody. This is an untruth. It isn't true. And how many people, when this is finished, will stand at the judgment bar of God and point a finger at a pastor, an evangelist, a minister, and say, I am lost because of you. You have sent my soul to hell because you have not told me the truth. I don't ever want to be found weighed in the balances and found wanting. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The Bible also says that if the righteous barely make it, then where shall the sinner and the ungodly? Where will they stand? God requires from us our all, our life. That when we know Him, that He is the Christ that hung upon the cross and shed His blood for the remission of our sins, we are purchased by the power of that blood. We are no longer of our own mind, our own choice, our own thinking. But then we say unto Him, Father, what is the requirement of your Son Jesus towards my life? And it tells us so plainly what it really is all about. Pick up your cross, Jesus said, and follow me. What was the life of Jesus Christ? It was a life of complete dedication unto the Father, even obedience unto the cross. So our lives must be hid in the shadow of the cross. It doesn't make any difference what people think about us this side of eternity. It has no meaning whatsoever. But where the actual meaning will exist is when this life is finished and we stand face to face with Him. With the inevitable that I am going to spend eternity somewhere. That I know, there is no doubt about that. And whatsoever I do on this side of eternity, whether it's a service in the church, whether it is a service towards God, whatsoever I do, I shall be repaid one way or the other. I shall reap it all back in eternity, whether it be good or whether it be bad. I know here a few months ago, when I came so close to death, when I brushed the angel of death, and the night before I said, Lord, no, not now. Not now, Father. I'm not ready to go. I'm not ready. I have not completed what I am going to do on this side of eternity. Not only did I have that faith in God to stand face to face with Him and say, Father, you said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. But I said, Lord, I'll do, and you know it. I'll do whatsoever you ask me to do. And as I lay there that night, knowing exactly what my condition was, I had told the doctors, When you open me, you're either going to say that I am dead or that I'm dying. But neither one of those things are true. Because Jesus died, I can live. I saw the faces of thousands of young people go before me. I saw the long hair, the drug addiction, the filth, the gutters that we had pulled them out of. And I could stand before God in an hour of crisis and say, Lord, you have got to hear me. You have got to answer me because it is your word. You promised. You said so. But the Bible says that faith without works are dead. What profit would I have been unto God if I would have said, Lord, I know your word says you're a healer, and yet go home and sit down after he had finished the work. Be no testimony unto him whatsoever. Not be a soul winner that's going to reap into eternity. Then what profit would I be unto God? But the one thing that I can tell you truly, as Jesus uses the word, surely, it's the truth. It doesn't make any difference what the conditions are. It doesn't make any difference how many cancer surgeons are standing around you and saying it is all finished. If we can look up into the face of a living God and say, Father, you said, and I believe it, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something. I went right into that Cadillac, went down to Virginia Beach in that big auditorium down there, and stood before hundreds of people and said, because Jesus died, I am living tonight. There was an experience here this past couple of weeks, and I saw churches again all over the place. There was a little boy, and his father was in prison for murdering a man. Now, after his father went to prison, this little child, a car that he was riding in, a 9-year-old, was hit by a teenager. Some of the people said doing 100-110 miles an hour, and paralyzed that child from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he had lain in a coma for the longest time. Someone told me about it. My cousin and I, some of the women, we went out there. And I've never seen such poverty in my life. A dying child laying there. And here were churches all over the town. Here were people who called themselves the people of God. Had never bothered to go in that house to see if that mother and those 3 children were eating. One woman even said, when my sister asked her for a donation for them, isn't that the little boy that his father is in prison? Oh, but what did Jesus say? Jesus said, don't turn anyone away. You may turn away an angel unaware. This is our life and our duty towards God. I came home that night, I couldn't sleep. I saw the face of that child in the surroundings. And I said, Tony, we've got to do something. We've got to. I said, I couldn't live and know that that condition was there. No, as far as I know, they're not Christians. As far as I know, they may never be in this church. What difference does it make? But our church set about getting a decent place for them to live and seeing that they had the help that they need. Because God requires this of us. And so often with Christians, we have not because we don't give. Many people, God makes them the overseers and the bankers of His money. Because He knows that they will give it out. And He gives it unto them. I knew that one of these days, regardless of whether Jesus comes tomorrow or the next day, next month, next year, or even a few years from now, all of us will see little Jimmy one of these days on the other side. Amen. And I believe because of this act of all of us Christians going to the rescue, souls will be saved. When God raised me up from a deathbed, I met people all over the United States of America that would run up to me in the streets and say, "Susan, I heard your testimony and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm saved." We had a businessman that comes over from Oklahoma. And he told us the story. We don't even know how he got the literature because none of our people remember sending it to him. He wouldn't have been on our mailing list. And how he got it in Oklahoma, I don't know. God knows. And he said he got the prayer letter and he opened it and he started to read it. Then he took it and he crumbled it up and threw it into the trash. And he said when he threw it into the trash, he began to just shake from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he went over and picked it out of the trash. And he said, by the time I finished that, the tears were running. And when I got to the part where you said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. He said, I was on my knees before God. And I have been saved. Now, our purpose before God is to do what God has called us to do. Every person is called as a soul winner. Every person. Not everybody is called as a preacher or an evangelist or as a deacon, but one calling that each and every one of us get is a soul winner. Do you remember when you was a young baby in Jesus Christ, when you had first tasted of the glory and the power of the Holy Spirit, as soon as you got off your knees, you couldn't wait to find somebody to tell them about it. Isn't that right? Oh, you wanted to share that experience with somebody. And you'll never forget it. Because you didn't have the words to adequately express anything that had happened to you. And the devil got into it immediately and made you look like a perfect fool and a raving lunatic. But you had to do it anyway, didn't you? You had to share that with somebody else. And what does the Bible say in the book of Revelation? I have somewhat against thee, Jesus said. Because you have lost that first love. You have lost it. You don't tell anybody about me anymore. And unless you repent and do your first works, He'll what? He'll take our candlestick out of its place, isn't that right? We're going to lose something before God. I'm not going to be here too long. You're not going to be here too long. But my Lord and my God, we've got millions and billions and billions of years on the other side. And I'm going to tell you something. I want to be the queen up there. I want to have a crown that's going to be so filled with diamonds and rubies that I'll have to have 100 angels just to help me carry it around. I want them just to walk around with me and just help me carry that crown, because I'm going to be spending a lot of years on the other side. And I want to lay up abundantly. Oh, yes! There are different states in heaven. The Bible says so. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And the Bible plainly teaches us we are going to reap in eternity exactly what we put in on this side. I'm not going to live in a little town called Dyer up there. I don't want to be on the other side of the tracks. But I want to be right up in the fashionable part of it. I want to have one of the biggest mansions that's going to be over there. And I'm going to do everything within my power on this side of eternity to accomplish that. Because the Bible says, faith without works is what? Dead. As the spirit, as the body is dead without the spirit, so is faith without works. You can't keep faith unless you do the works of your Father, which is in heaven. It's an impossibility. Your faith, you'll lose your faith. You can't. How can you have faith to go in before God and say, Lord, heal me, when we think about our lives and they're not what they should be before God? You don't care what anybody on this side of eternity thinks about you. When the angel of death is standing beside you, you're not concerned about that. Doesn't make any difference. And any time you're doing a work for God, every devil in hell is going to attack you anyway. They're going to go after you. If you want to know where the action is, if you want to know where God's working, find out who they're calling hypocrites, racketeers and phonies, and get right in the middle of them, because that's where God's doing the work. Amen? Otherwise, the devil says, that's the nicest bunch I ever saw. He's perfectly pleased with everything they're doing. But any time you join the army and get on the front lines, you're going to get shot at. I thank God today that God called me and Tony to go to the front lines. I can't think of anything in this world that could be any sadder than to think about all the Jews and Mexicans and Italians and blacks and Arabs that somebody else might have taken the gospel to, or that they would have been lost because I failed. Our boys down at the station, truck drivers come in, they witness to them. One big truck driver down on his knees down the DX station, accepting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Wherever we are, we don't have to be in a church atmosphere to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my works, the Bible says. Go to work for God, and the faith grows and grows and grows. Amen. Doesn't bother me a bit to have somebody say, well, I don't believe in that, or I don't believe in what you're doing. I say, is that right? You don't believe in it because you don't know anything about it. It just gives you an open door to be able to tell somebody what God is really doing. Isn't that right? Just an open door to be able to witness for Jesus Christ. I want to say in closing this afternoon, there is not a doubt in my mind but what every one of us are facing eternity. We are. Jesus is coming. Prophecy is history. The rocks and the mountains are crying out the return of Jesus Christ. It's all finished. It's all over. You know, we passed from the dispensation of law into the dispensation of grace. And we're going to pass from the dispensation of grace into the dispensation of judgment. Because the Bible says that judgment will begin at the house of God. We're going to go through some perilous times. We're going to go through some rough places. But what difference does it really make if we have a partner like Christ Jesus? If we have that living word as a guideline, I will never leave you or forsake you. Yea, unto the ends of the world. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful promise. If you're here this afternoon and you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, while we sing this gospel song, an invitation, especially for you, there is room at the cross for you.
The cross upon which Jesus died.
The cross upon which Jesus died.
Is the shelter
in which we can hide.
And its grace so free,
so free
is sufficient,
is sufficient
for me.
For me.
And deep is the fountain.
Deep is the fountain.
As wide.
Wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. Will everyone stand?
There's
room at the cross for you.
For you.
So many have come. For the last 2,000 years, there's a place reserved at the foot of the old rugged cross just for you. Wouldn't that be a tragedy in eternity to realize that there was a place reserved for you? And at the banquet table, you'd see someone else sit down at your place.
And welcome a sinner
before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you.
There's room at the cross.
Yes, there's room at the cross
for you.
For you.
There's room.
There's room at the cross. Tony and I are going down to Nashville for 2 weeks. Finish up filming and recording down there. And we'll be back. And ask all you visitors to please come back again this next week. Keep the services going. God is moving here and souls are being saved. And when we come back this next 2 weeks, every one of you purpose in your heart today that you will bring another person to services with you. Find some old sinner. Let them know that you care and bring them to services with you. We're glad that all of you were here today, and I know that you have received something from God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of standing on this old earth again and proclaiming you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we ask you to bless each and every person now as they go their way. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, place a burden upon their hearts that they'll be here next Sunday and the Sunday following. And Lord, that they will bring someone with them. Oh, Father, we ask it in your name and for your sake. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.